Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Jesus says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, I'm sure many of you have heard this phrase before. One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? And the idea is that what someone threw away as having no value, another person might find that exact same object greatly valuable to them. And, you know, we've all kind of lived out this reality. This is why we shop at garage sales and thrift stores and browse on Facebook Marketplace. There are lots of treasures out there that people are basically giving away. A few years ago, we picked up a couple couches that we found on the side of the road. They had a lot of dog hair on them, but we vacuumed them up, shampooed them, and they lasted us several years. In fact, a few years back, we threw out the couches, but we kept the seat cushions because my boys loved making forts out of them. They still love making forts out of these cushions, right? Those cushions are literally trash to everyone else. But my boys treasure them. You see, treasure, it's all a matter of perspective. People treasure different things because we value different things. In fact, what we treasure reveals deeper priorities within us, deeper values that we have in life. Well, Jesus is talking about this very same subject today, and he asks us to consider what are the things that you treasure. In addition, he warns us that some of the things we may treasure are actually a danger to us. If you're new with us today and haven't been with us for a while, here at Bethesda, we're doing a sermon series since January on the Sermon on the Mount, which is this famous sermon that Jesus gives in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And I've said this every week, but it's so important. What Jesus is doing in this sermon is showing us what the kingdom of God is like as opposed to what the kingdom of the world is like. And he shows us what it means to live as a citizen of this new kingdom, this new way of life that he is ushering in. And of course, the title of the series is the Sermon on the Mount, Living the Upside-Down Kingdom, because this is what we discover from Jesus in this sermon. Living in his kingdom requires us to live in upside-down ways. And today's teaching from Jesus is certainly an example of this upside-down way of living. Today, Jesus warns us that one of the biggest obstacles to living in God's kingdom ways is wealth. Look again at what he says in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Right? Jesus warns here against storing up treasures on earth. And it's pretty clear that by treasures on earth, he's talking about wealth. He's talking about material possessions. And he gives some reasons why we shouldn't store up these kinds of treasures. First, he says they're temporary and they're vulnerable. Right? Material things can be destroyed over time by things like moths and rust, or valuables can be stolen by thieves. Right? We know this. Any treasure on this earth will eventually meet its end. Wood rots. Paint fades, mortar crumbles, metal rusts. We know this better than anyone recently, having this church building that's over 135 years old and the problems that come with that, right? Beams rot, ceilings cave in. We also know that even if our possessions do survive our lifetime, we won't, right? Everything in this world slips from our grasp one way or another. Psalm 49 said this from our first reading. "Do not be afraid when some become rich, when the wealth of their houses increases, for when they die, they will carry nothing away. their wealth will not go down after them. Now, of course, it's pretty natural for us to collect things, right? We do need lots of things in life. We need food. We need clothes. We need a place to live. We need a car to drive to work. We need money to buy health insurance, pay utilities, buy food. And money and possessions, material possessions, they make life easier. They provide a lot of great things for us. They give us security. They help us be independent. Certain possessions give us pleasure, joy. Money helps us buy things we enjoy. Money also gives power, and as well as self-worth. Right? So why wouldn't we store up treasures on earth when they can do so many good things for us? Well, what Jesus is trying to show us in this passage is that these things, they don't provide as much as you think. And that's because they don't last. They're temporary. And since your wealth is temporary, that also means that the security, the pleasure, the self-worth they provide is also temporary. It's vulnerable. They cannot be trusted and counted on entirely in this life. That's the first reason Jesus gives for why we shouldn't store up treasures on earth. The second reason is even more important, and he mentions this in verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The greatest danger of storing up treasures on earth is that they may become the treasure of your heart. They may become what you treasure most in life. Right? Understand what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying what you desire in your heart is what leads you to acquire those things. Jesus is actually saying that the things move in the opposite direction. The things we store up actually, they shape our desires. They shape our hearts. Tim Chester says this, "Wealth is not neutral. It exerts a pull on our affections and can control our lives." Right? This is why you hear some people say, you know, money changes people. Because it's true. You see it often, I think, with celebrities, right? It used to be this one type of person, but when they got rich and famous, it changed their character, changed their values. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Right? Money is the root. It's a starting point that can lead to other problems, other evils. And so what we're really talking about here today, it's not money exactly, it's priorities is the main thing. Right? Of course, we need to make money. We need to be able to buy things. But what do we prioritize? What do you treasure is Jesus' real question. What do you spend most of your time and energy trying to store up? Is it treasure on earth or is it something else? And Jesus tells us that for citizens of God's kingdom, the priorities lie elsewhere. We should have our eyes set on a different kind of treasure, treasure in heaven. Again, Jesus says in verse 20, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal." Right? Jesus tells us there's a greater treasure out there, a treasure that doesn't fade. It's not temporary but eternal. And it's so secure it can't be threatened. Now, of course, the question is, what is this treasure in heaven? And I think the easiest way to put it is that storing up treasure in heaven is a shift in priorities. It's a shift away from prioritizing the storing up of earthly wealth and instead prioritizing Jesus and the things that Jesus values. That's heavenly wealth. Later in Matthew 22, Jesus will tell us what the greatest commandment is. He says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus tells us right here what to prioritize, what's most important if we're to follow God and follow his commandments. He tells us it's loving God and loving others. I mean, after all, what greater treasure do we have than God himself and what he did for us in Jesus? And the truth is, if we love and serve God and others right now, we will have treasure both in the present and in the future. Now, to expand upon his point, Jesus, he offers two other sayings. Look at verse 22. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" It's an interesting saying, kind of difficult to interpret at first glance. Jesus is he's talking about priorities again. And he's asking us to consider, what are your eyes focused upon? Where are you shining your lamp? Where are you pointing your flashlight? What path is it down? Is your focus on God and the treasures of heaven? Right? That affects your whole body. And if you're focused on the treasures of earth, that too affects your whole body, and you'll be full of darkness. What you look at, what you focus on, shapes what you value. If you focus on the things you don't have, that car, that house, that savings account, that's just going to corrupt your values even more and turn them dark with greed and discontent and envy. But if your gaze is focused on Jesus, you'll end up with a very different set of values. Hebrews 12 says this, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Right? What do you have your eyes fixed on in life? Is it Jesus or something else? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? I like the way John Stott puts it. He says, "Just as a seeing eye gives light to the whole body, so a noble and single-minded ambition to serve God and man adds meaning to life and throws light on everything we do." And then in verse 24, Jesus has one last saying to share with us. He says this, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other and be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." All right, here Jesus takes the seriousness of this topic up a notch even further. And he offers this dichotomy between God and money. And he says, just as we may serve God as our master, so money can also be master over us. But as we know, these are two very different kinds of masters, right? God's a loving master. He's our Father. He wants the best for us. And our loyalty and our service to him actually leads to our good in life, as well as God's glory. And the Bible talks plenty about how God is, he's like a shepherd to us, who leads us to green pastures and still waters and leads us down to the right paths in life. But money is a very different kind of master that enslaves us. It's like a tyrant that demands our loyalty, right? We may think we own our stuff, but when you start to treasure your stuff will own you. You've probably heard the phrase, the almighty dollar, right? This phrase was coined by Washington Irving in 1836, and you can catch his play on words. Instead of Almighty God, some worship and serve the almighty dollar. Refers to those who show a relentless, even religious pursuit of money and material wealth. And for some people, money is God. It's the kind of the all supreme, all powerful force in life that dictates our actions, our values. And I think it's accurate for some people in our world. Money's their master. It gives orders. It bosses you around. It can enslave us. It can drive you to pursue the best job possible and rise in the ranks no matter who you have to step on along the way. Drive some to embezzle or to gamble or to cheat. It can drive you to work too much and neglect your family or your health. It can also drive you to obsess about how to keep it all safe, how to help it all grow. And it drives you to hoard your wealth and be stingy with it. And so Jesus asks, is your wealth a master over you? And he says, you can't serve God and wealth. Right? That's even more challenging. You can't have both. You can't really treasure wealth and God at the same time. Both can't be top priorities in your life. One has to be clear master over you. Because if you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you're really devoted to serving God, wealth just won't be that important to you. In fact, Jesus, he even goes so far as to say, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. Right? And the implication there is that if we really love God, if we're really devoted to God, we would actually come to hate and despise wealth. Right? And I mean, what does that mean? It seems pretty extreme. And I think Jesus he's just saying you have to choose. Only one can get your loyalty. I think of a marriage, right? You cannot be loyal to both your wife and someone else, a mistress. It doesn't work that way. In fact, in the vows that I often read at weddings, I ask this. You've heard this before. Do you promise to love her, to have and to hold her from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, to comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health? And then here's the key part. And forsaking all others, give yourself only to her as long as you both shall live. Right? Being truly loyal to your spouse means forsaking all others, forsaking anyone else who may compete with your heart. You must give yourself fully and completely to your spouse and only them. And you must do the same with money and God. In order to truly love God, we must forsake money and give it no place, no place in our hearts, no loyalty, no devotion. And if it begins to draw our attention and threaten to take some of our loyalty, we must learn to hate it, to despise it even. Right? God alone is our master. Now, of course, this teaching from Jesus today, it's much, much easier said than done. And so I'll leave you today with 2 points for how we might live this out. And so here's the first one. Number one, hold your earthly treasures loosely. Right? Jesus doesn't tell us we can't earn money. He doesn't say we can't have wealth. The warning is against storing up treasures on earth and giving them our loyalty. Right? Warns against obtaining and hoarding more and more for yourself to fulfill all your desires, treasuring it. And so the real question is, what will you do with your treasures and your wealth? I mean, the opposite of storing up treasure is giving it away. Right? We can use our wealth to serve God and others. Give to those in need. Give to missionaries. Give to Bible camps, to churches, to food shelves. Right? That's one kind of heavenly treasure, generosity. Now, of course, the other hard question is how much? Right? How much does God really expect us to give away? And to be honest, for Janelle and myself, this is one of our biggest struggles. We're constantly talking about this, wrestling with this. How much do we give away? How much do we save for retirement? How much do we save for kids, for college? How much is okay to spend on vacations? And I don't have a dollar sign for you, a figure to give you, a percentage, but I would offer 3 principles to think about. First is to give intentionally. Sit down with your family, think, pray together about what's calling you to give away this year and where to, right? We have goals for retirement, saving goals. Make goals for giving as well. Second, grow in your giving. This is one of the goals Janelle and I have. Every 5 years we sit down and think about how can we grow in our giving this year. And finally, give uncomfortably. I think this is a great way to make sure that money does not become your master or your greatest treasure. Giving is a liberating act. Give beyond what you're entirely comfortable with. That means that we're not just giving our leftovers to God. Instead, we have to make some sacrifices to give. When we give uncomfortably, that also forces us to trust God, to rely on Him, that He'll continue to provide all we need. Again, Jesus is showing us how living in His kingdom calls us to live upside down. And letting go of the desire to store up treasures on earth is certainly upside down. My grandpa Schmidt, who has passed away now, he used to share the story of when he first became a pastor in his first parish, a small town in Iowa, and he had nothing. The church could barely pay him. He was living paycheck to paycheck. Oftentimes, his next meal would come from members inviting him over for dinner. That's why he did a lot of visits. But in the midst of all this, he talked about he would continue to tithe and give beyond what would seem wise. But he found that if he was faithful in his giving, just kept giving, God just continued to be faithful to him to provide. And sometimes he provided in what seemed like miraculous ways. He never went hungry. And Jesus will talk about more of this next week. Right? God has packed his creation full of abundance. He will provide what we need. We don't have to worry. Here's the final way we can live this out, the most important way. Make God your greatest treasure. Pray and ask God to give you eyes to see that he's more valuable than anything you can acquire on this earth. And that pursuing the ways of his kingdom is worth so much more than pursuing the things of this world. When you treasure God above everything else, you can't help but prioritize the right things. When you really love him, all other things are left behind in importance. And when we come to finally see how bright, how glorious the treasure of Jesus really is, all other treasures just seem dull in comparison. Let's pray.